RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday Before Christmas edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Christmas Eve Eve Val and
me, Christmas Eve Eve Beans. That's good. I like it.
Yeah, no, it's the best. This is the best day of the year right here. Christmas Eve Eve.
It's like the anticipation is building. There's so much to do. I have so much to do today. So much.
Yep.
But we just finished an amazing interview with Trisha, who is, how do we name her? Like, what do we call her? The woman with the face.
I don't, well, she's the woman of a thousand faces.
That was scary.
Like Lon Chaney was. He was the man of a thousand faces.
Yes. She was the, we interviewed Trisha, who I saw this clip going around of this woman, this beautiful, amazing woman sitting behind Raskin making faces as he was talking during the Rules Committee hearing. And I was like, oh my gosh, this woman is freaking kick ass. I love her. And I tweeted out her clip and everybody started tagging her in it. And then we got to talking and I said, you need to come on the show and you need to write for Uncover DC what you're doing because it's quite amazing. And she's just a doll and I love her. I just love her. I want to hug her. Don't you want to hug her?
Yeah.
She just looks like somebody you'd want to hug.
Yeah. Well, I think that it was, after I saw the video of the hearing and you said that we were actually going to speak with her, I was so excited. Like, you know, people say that a picture says a thousand words. Well, she embodies that. She's the living embodiment of that because, you know, as you'll hear, you can learn so much about a person just from a couple of well-timed expressions, what they approve of, disapprove of, the knowledge that that is required to hold stances in both fields. It's great. Really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can deduce a lot from a human face.
Agreed. And so without further ado, we'll get right into this interview with Trisha. And then after that, we'll do some more stuff. And we'll end on a nice lighthearted note today, Frank, with some cheer and some positivity.
Thank God.
Here's Trisha.
Hello. Hello.
Hello there, Trisha.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Trisha, let me just say, we don't know each other. I don't know anything about you outside of your first name. But I will say this, based on what I do know of you, I know so much. All I know from you is your facial expressions. And from those facial expressions, from your reactions, I know how genuine a person you are. I know what level of understanding of the subjects you were commenting on with your face. From there, I know what you approve of, what you disapprove of. There's so much I know about you, and all I really know is your first name. But welcome and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I have my whole life, everything that I feel shows up on my face. I would be a horrible poker player, you know, just whatever I feel reflects on my face. And I've been told that my whole life.
You know, you're in good company because same here. And my husband uses it against me all the time because I can't fake not being mad.
Same here.
So look, so you are the famous or infamous, depending on what side of the aisle you're on, person who was sitting behind. It was Raskin, the clip that really went crazy, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you just couldn't contain yourself, much like I probably would have been if I was sitting there. And you went viral because you were sitting there basically mocking him with your facial expression.
Right. Well, it was pretty easy to do because what he was saying was just a bunch of lies. So, I mean, naturally, it just showed on my face. And it's kind of interesting because as I was sitting there, one of the, I guess, Capitol employees came up and he was accompanied by someone else who I had met earlier in the week. And they tried to get me to get up. They said, come here for a second. I said, no, just tell me here. I'm listening. And they said, well, you can't record. And I said, I'm not recording. And then they said to me, you can't have facial expressions. And I said, well, I'm a human and I have a face. So
I can't. So there's more to this story. And we're working on a piece right now for Uncover DC because I really want people to read this, because there's so much more than just you were sitting behind this guy, right? What? Tell us what you've been doing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a pissed off American. This is what I am. And I decided that I wanted to find out what was happening, because we have no media. We can't rely on them. And I wanted to be in D.C. for the impeachment. So I started attending the hearings. And first I went to the IG hearing, and I was incredibly shocked that nobody was there. And it was just amazing to me. I sat through that, and I listened to the Republicans talk about the report, and then I listened to the Democrats talk about everything but the report. So that was annoying. And then the day after that, I went to the articles hearing, and again, more of the same lies. And just, you know, you can only sit there for so long without feeling something. And I was getting just furious, and I left the articles hearing and actually was standing outside in the lobby and ran into Jerry Nadler. And just my emotions just kind of took over, and I let him have it. And it was captured on video, but the media never shared the video because as soon as we finished with Nadler, I turned around and spoke to the media and kind of told them how I felt about them not doing their job. And so it just kind of ballooned from there, and I continued going. I received tons and tons of messages from people asking me to keep going, that they felt like I was one of them, and, you know, just seeing it from the viewpoint of an average citizen. And so I just kept going.
Well, this is news. I mean, the confrontation with not only Nadler and the media, but also the media, that's all news. Before Tracy, I know Tracy was about to say something. Can you please give us a summary of the things that some of the things you said to Nadler, and then subsequently to the media? Just nutshell it. What did you wallop them with?
I told him he was a fraud, and that they were liars, and that they were harming the American people, and that they were trying to nullify our vote, and we didn't appreciate it. And then I called him a coup master. Repeatedly.
You know, look, the thing is this too. It's pretty stunning to me, and it kind of gives us an idea of where we're at, that they didn't share anything about you. They didn't really, I mean, they wrote articles. There's a couple articles you shared with me that are out there kind of, you know, giving you the treatment. But for the most part, they could have done what they do to most people and canceled you, in quotes, right?
Yes.
But they didn't.
Yes, they didn't. And the first time I actually approached Nadler was the day before the vote, and we're at the elevator, and I mean, I'm letting him have it. And then I turn around and I let the media have it. Well, they captured all of it, and not one of them posted any of it. The following day, I went back, and after I was actually on the train when they were voting, I walked from the train station in D.C. to the Longworth building. And I mean, I'm storming in there. I'm furious. It's pouring down, raining. I know that they've taken the vote. I enter the building, and I'm standing there, and just right about the exact timing was perfect. Nadler comes out, and then I let him have it again. And again, they're all right there recording, and not one of them has shared it. I've shared it, and it's gotten 140,000 views, and people just reaching out to me all over the country, actually even all over the world. And it's just amazing to me how afraid the media is to report the news.
You know, the other thing, Frank, that she didn't, you know, Trisha, you didn't share this, but I think you should. What did you do, you know, before all this happened? You did something really, really cool.
Which thing?
You stopped doing what you do for a living for a while. And what'd you do?
Well, my husband and I decided we wanted to find out what was going on. So we put basically our real estate business in Texas on hold. We sold everything that we have, and we bought a motorhome. And we've been traveling the country speaking to Trump supporters at Trump rallies. We've attended 29 rallies all the way from Montana to the East Coast and everywhere in between. And we literally walk up and down the lines speaking to the people in these lines. And what we've discovered is there are a whole lot of Democrats in these lines. And the media, and I tell the media this all the time, I've been interviewed constantly, you know, at these rallies by the mainstream media. They never report that, never print what I tell them. And I ask them, please go talk to these people yourself. That's what you're going to find. And they don't do it. They purposely do not report that so many people in these lines are former Democrats. And they also don't report that the reason these people are flipping to, you know, walking away, as they say, to the Republican Party is because of the craziness of the Democrats. The people say to me, I don't want to be associated with this. This party has left me. They are no longer what I thought they were. And, you know, it's shocking to me that that is not something that the media, a honest media would be reporting that. And they don't.
It seems to be just, you know, the more they that the more extreme of them and you know, what they showcase anyway, the more empowered they think they are. I think the better it is for anyone normal in the country who wants to see a normal government, because then they think they don't need to get out there. They think that they've got it in the bag. It's almost as though the media is shooting themselves in the foot by not shining a spotlight on the fact that they're losing, they're leaking people like left and right. Pascal tweets it out all the time.
Yes. And what he tweets, and I say this, you know, I always look for his numbers to see what they are regarding how many Democrats they found. And it's very similar to what we see. I mean, he is spot on. So when I see that, I know that that's the reality of what's in these lines.
Well, you know, I was talking about this. First of all, I spoke about this last night with a couple of friends when I was streaming with some friends last night. And the number one is the thing that we keep on getting reminded about here is that, and if there's one thing I could be grateful for in 2019 and for that matter, 18 and 17, is that we have been able to completely get this whole get the day-to-day operations of the media, the modus operandi, completely exposed, that if they are not creating news that they know that they can use in one way or another, they are working in earnest to deflect people's attention away from what is real news. And you were talking once again about how just, and first of all, I think that's just incredible. I wish I can uproot myself and Lauren and I can just, you know, just do thing, travel around the country and put ourselves on the road for one purpose or another. That sounds just so liberating, number one. But number two,
we're taking a huge risk in doing this. And you know, financially, it might bite us in the rear end at the end, but we're living history right now. And I just can't think of anything more important to do.
Oh, it sounds so amazing just to get yourself in it and to be committed to it. The financial risk for something like that usually is more than secondary once you've seen the value behind the idea. And it's so great that you're actually getting this perspective, because it's that perspective is that I was saying it to my buddy Rob yesterday after we were working out yesterday morning. What people keep forgetting, and this harkens back to what you're saying about everybody walking away, it's an old business adage, actually it's not even an adage, it's just a statistic, that a business, if you're in business, if you're advertising, if you're marketing, it costs 10 times the amount of money and time to sign a new customer than it does to keep your old ones. And right. Not only do we know that the Democrat Party is completely broke, they are also just bankrupt morally and intellectually. There is no way in hell that they're attracting new people. And it's and the evidence is everywhere that they're leaking like a sieve.
Yes, they are. They are. And, you know, you would think the smart thing would be to stop it and face it and try to turn, you know, try to make a change. But they don't. They're so dug in that they literally cannot see the forest for the trees or refuse to.
You know, your story, it really still just blows me away. Like, I'm so glad we connected. I want to go back real quick, if we can, to what they, so you get to sit in there. You're one of three. You made it in there. What you mentioned to me what they did at Pelosi's office. Tell me what they did there. Tell everyone.
Yeah. Right before I went into the hearing, I went to Pelosi's office and I videotaped it. And I asked them, if the rules hearing was public, and I was told no, it wasn't, and I said, you know, that sounds crazy to me. I mean, we're the public, shouldn't we see this? And they said, well, it's on TV. I said, well, I understand that, but I'm physically here. Can't I go in? And they said no. So I went across the street to the Capitol and I asked the Capitol employees, and they said, yes, you can go in, but there's only three seats reserved for the public. which seems crazy to me, but three seats. And at that moment, they were occupied. So I waited. He said, you know, you can wait. And they were very nice to me. They said, you can wait. And I waited for like 45 minutes. And then I was seated. And oddly enough, they seated me right behind the Democrat congressman.
And when they couldn't get
move.
I know
move.
It's just so perfect. My dad was hysterical. My dad was like, God bless this woman. You know, look, when they couldn't get you to stop facing,
yeah,
they put some, what happened? They put, tell people what they did to you.
The Democrat attorney, Burke is his name, and I had a run-in with him earlier in the week, which is interesting, but he was feverishly texting because somebody, I guess people were telling him that I was in the shot, and he's texting. Finally, this very, very tall woman comes and sits right in front of me, and she didn't just sit there. She sits and leans to the left to block me, you know, even more. And so I, at this point, I'm having fun. I can see how stupid and ridiculous they are. So I literally peek my head around her, you know, and continue with the eye rolls, and I'm laughing my head off. And, you know, it was just so pathetic what they were doing. That I am just a simple, average American citizen. Shouldn't you want me to be in there?
Well, no, not
well,
if
no,
you're...
you, no, you're not. Unless your name is Alyssa Milano. No.
Oh, my God.
We have to watch her faces. We have to know nobody else is allowed, though.
I think that, like, everybody that commented, everyone that said anything said, this is me. You represent me. You were our representative in those hearings. I would have been the exact same way. And I'm like, God bless this woman for being there, because it was about damn time that some portion of what our perspective is made it out to the masses. And you were her. You were, yeah. Like, it really is that big. I know it sounds silly, but you know, in one of these historic moments in American history, there you were speaking for everybody with your face.
Thank you. You know, it really made me sick to my stomach to be there, to know that, first of all, that only three Americans were allowed to be in that room at that time. And then to watch them do what they did to me, it's disgusting, because what's missing in this entire impeachment process is the voice of the American people. That's what's missing in the entire thing. And shouldn't that be the thing that is in the forefront? And it's just disgusting what they've done to us. They've eliminated us, and we as a people have to stop that. We can't allow that.
Well, you're putting one foot in front of the other, and you're really walking the walk. I mean, I wish that we could have sent like a camera crew along with you guys for the documenting the whole entire trip that you're taking. What's next? Where are you going?
Well, I'll tell you, if and when Nancy decides to send over the articles. Or the, well, the, I guess, is that what you would call
yeah,
it?
The articles. Yeah.
She has to appoint managers.
Whatever does her job. I'll be back. I'll be back, and I'll be in those seats again. I'm not going to quit on this. And for whatever reason, many people have reached out to me and feel like I'm helping them have their voice, and I'm going to keep going.
Good for you. Good for you. That's fantastic. Well,
it's been a pleasure. You definitely have the expressiveness that we need. We need to learn how to emote something different than panic and irrationality. And I think that was the most entertaining as well as calming part of your time sitting there on television, was that not only were you were you making your opinions known without doing very much, but it wasn't this frantic crap. I don't know. You can even see the panic in people's eyes as they sit there and try to play it up. You were very calm. You're like, oh my God, like this is like just bad writing. I can see it all over your face that you were not only you were outraged at the things you were hearing, but at the same time, it was like this is just pathetic. I can see how. Yes.
So this is what we're doing, Tricia. You sent me over a draft of your article, but what I want to do, and I'm going to work on you with you, but it's just crazy right now because of Christmas. I am honored that you are going to be doing this with us at Uncover DC. It's really amazing. I want to chronicle the entire thing. You've got videos, you've got pictures, you've got all kinds of stuff. We're going to work together on it, me and you. Put it all together and then share the
help. Awesome. I really appreciate that. I really do. You know, like I said, I'm just an average citizen, but I do feel like it's important that other people see, you know, from what I saw. That's what I hope.
Yeah. You have anything you'd like to say to everybody that listens to Dark to Light before we let you go?
Keep listening. And this, we are the people. We can take this back. They don't own it. We do.
God bless. Amen. Yes. Merry Christmas, Amen. Trisha.
Merry Christmas,
Trish. You guys. Y'all have a great one.
And send our best to your husband as well. You sound like you have a great partner in crime out there.
I think she's gone.
Is she gone?
Yeah. She's here. Sounded, she's here.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. I thought I offended her. Like, how dare you call him?
No, my daughter was calling in. I was trying to figure out how to mute it. So sorry about that.
That's okay.
I thought I ruined Christmas for a second.
No. So thank you. Guys, I really appreciate your support and your voice. I really do.
Listen, you need help with anything or a big megaphone that you might not already have. You also wrote a book we didn't get to talk about, or you put together a book, which is just President Trump's tweets.
Yeah, that's how we're able to do what we're doing. That's what pays the bills. And so it is somewhat important to get that in there from time to time, but I don't like that to be the lead because that's not why I'm doing it. That's how I'm doing it.
We'll put a link to buy the book in the show notes for everybody out there that wants to buy it. And I'm not done with you yet. There's more to come.
Thank you so much, Tracy. I appreciate it.
Lots of love, darling.
You too. Nice to meet you, Frank.
All right. Bye-bye, Tricia.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was fantastic.
Indeed.
We're not done with her.
No, she can't get away now. We like her too much.
Yeah, no. She's staying with me. I've got my arm around her. So there's that. So I want to keep everything lighthearted today. We did a really serious show Wednesday. What? Friday. Really serious show. Today's Monday. Yeah, can you believe it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it needed to be said, I think. And it was long, but needed to be said. And now it's Christmas time.
It's the best time of year.
Is it cloudy by you today?
No, we got sunny. It's sunny out, and I have almost everything done. I mailed out two last gifts today. And what else do I have to do over here? I wrapped everything yesterday. I'm hoping that two last gifts come in the mail today. I thought I had ordered them way enough in time for them to show up. So, I mean, that'd be awesome. But
so
I'm on it.
What do you guys do for Christmas Eve? Whose house are you going to? Mom and dad, right?
Christmas Eve, we go to Lauren's father for appetizers, cocktails, and some presents. After that, we go to my grandmother's house. After that, we go back to one of Lauren's cousins. They alternate all that stuff. So we go like three places on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas Day, I think Christmas Day is going to be all at – we're hosting Christmas morning, and then my mother usually cooks Christmas for Christmas evening, Christmas night. So it's going to be easier Christmas Day. Christmas Eve is the real holiday, though.
Yeah. No, I do Christmas Eve at my house, and it is an extravaganza every year. So it started when I bought my first house years ago. I said, I want to host Christmas Eve. That's going to be my holiday because everyone has their own little holiday, right? So, of course, I never do anything small ever. So I decided I was going to make a 10-course gourmet meal. And that's what I did. And then every year it just started getting bigger and bigger and bigger till I was like recruiting help to come over and help me because I couldn't do it all myself. And now it's me and my dad. Me and my dad, we cook, and my sister helps too. We cook like all day. It starts tonight and then all day tomorrow, and we just eat. And then we do the annual reading of Twas.
Twas the night before Christmas?
Yes. But we call it Twas because my kids used to call it Twas.
I never heard that said before, Twas.
We call it Twas.
I try to find ways of using Twas in my real life.
Well, you're going to have to come up with some different ways because it's a great word. It's a great word.
It's simple.
It's a little lazy, but it's great.
No, it's very classy, actually. It's a classy conjunction. And you have, I mean, seriously, think of it. How many times a week do we all say it was?
Too many. It should be twas. Too many.
All you have to do is call some attention to it, and you can say twas a great many times.
Twas or twas? It's twas because you say was.
Yeah, twas.
So it's twas. Yeah, so there's Christmas Eve. Twas comes out at night. And then we all go to bed and we wait for Santa. And then in the morning, my mom wakes up and comes over with my kids and we open all our presents. And then we have Christmas Day at my mom's house. And then we wait for New Year's Eve, which I also host, which is one of my favorite holidays outside of Christmas. Always fun. And then we have a month of birthdays and anniversaries. And then finally in February, it dies down.
February dies down, and that's when it gets really cold over here.
Yeah, February's cold here, too.
Yeah.
You think everybody's bored with us talking about our personal family Christmas things?
Is there anything in the news? What? I'm going to see Star Wars tonight, so I've been seeing some hilarious reviews.
Yeah.
I don't know what's in the news. I've just been trying to decompress.
I haven't spent a lot of time online this weekend, but we do have Maria Bartiromo to talk about. One time we got an email yelling at us about talking about our personal stuff, and it always has haunted me ever since then. But Maria Bartiromo had a packed show yesterday. She had what's his name? The guy that flipped. What's his name? JVD. JVD is his Twitter. Jeff Van Drew. I can never remember his name. She had him on for an interview, and he's not a Republican. Let's be clear. Okay. He's certainly not a Republican. He is definitely a Democrat. But he believes in free markets. So it's weird because he wants environmental control and he wants to make the environment better, but he wants to do it without stifling business. But he also voted for the Paris Climate Accord deal. So I don't know what's going on there.
I don't have a lot of stock in this party switching stuff because it's just what are people talking about? What are people standing by? And so it, one thing or another, I guess in the short term, anything that's going to keep Donald Trump in office for another 4 years, for even if it's just to be a wrench in the gears, we got to just keep things in place so that maybe the more articulate members of our society can start making better and bolder arguments for what real change, which would be something that is going to go counter to both parties' main political platforms. We need gigantic slashing and deregulation, and we need gigantic returning of responsibility, especially to the environment, to localities like, you know, this guy from New Jersey. I think New Jersey could really benefit from environmentalist reform, but get the people of New Jersey in New Jersey rivers and streams and clean it up themselves.
Like Scott does. Like Scott has to go around all these cities and pick up garbage because they can't do it themselves. What's interesting about what you just said is that this weekend, Eddie Murphy came back to Saturday Night Live. I don't know if you caught his opening at all.
I noticed all the thumbnails on YouTube, but I did not see anything.
To be honest, like I was a little bit worried about it because I really like Eddie Murphy. I think he's funny as hell. He did a little dig at Bill Cosby, which was hysterical. And then he brought out Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, who I despise. I despise him. Dave Chappelle, Tracy Morgan, and there was one other person, but they actually, oh no, I'm completely wrong. Wrong skit, wrong show. It was Ryan Reynolds I'm thinking of. Ryan Reynolds did a skit with Fallon where it's a skit where they're trying to get rid of people on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, and it's a Yankee Candle commercial, and one of the candles is New Jersey, and you light it.
See?
Because well,
why would anybody who is an environmentalist politician in New Jersey be wanting to put their name to any kind of an illegal compact for the environment in Paris? You've got so much in your backyard to clean up. Just take care of it. Take care of it and stop bothering everybody. But, you know, because I was looking at this other article about that Mayor Pete guy. it's funny how all these people still are the breathless coverage of whatever candidates remain, as if any of them are relevant. And Mayor Pete, they're talking about how he's where the hell is it? I saw this in the Oh, here it is. This is from MSN.com. Headline: Buddy Geig. How do you say his last name? I don't care.
Or Buttigieg or whatever. Booty. Just call him Booty.
Booty. Shifts to center. He shifts to center. Center. Embodying. This is a quote. This is a headline from MSN. Mayor Pete shifts to center, embodying the Democratic primary's rightward drift.
You're kidding. You're kidding.
That's a headline from Chelsea Janes, Washington Post.
See, this is the thing. If you can see through their nonsense, what they're admitting in that headline is that not only are the Democrats too far left, but if they use the word right, it will appeal to more people.
It's a rightward centrist drift, because, of course, if you go to the right of where they are, they'll be in the center, which you would think that would be a moderate person that you can actually talk to. You know, I mean, just the optics of the word itself, how it plays off. But the thing here is, once again, with the shape of the Democrat Party and the people who are inside of it and the ideas that they have, there is no giving those if you have already committed yourself to it, there is something inside of you ideologically that you have pledged yourself to, like you sold your soul to the devil. There is no going back on that. If any one of these people over the next 10 years even tries to say, you know, I've had time to think, I've had time to reflect and reform my opinions and this and that, they're just lying to you. So much damage has been done to the Democrat Party that it just needs to be destroyed. You cannot believe anything that these people say. They are just liars. So anybody who did identify as a Democrat and is leaving and looking for greener, more moderate pastures, that is the only thing I see. There is no resurrecting this zombie party, because you cannot rid it of the rabies it has.
Not only that, but, you know, like, to your point, we're not going to forget. Nobody in this generation is going to forget what these people have done. Nobody is.
Well, remember all of the exposés we got from Veritas in 2018.
Yeah.
In Arizona and in Florida. How many times do we even have to be faced with what we already know without having the evidence? What people are saying, well, I have a lot of moderates and a lot of right-leaning people in my district, so I'm going to give them lip service, but I am more progressive than I could ever let anybody know. And it's all about slipping on in there. Then you got 2 years of a very nice salary, and you can put your vote to whatever the hell you want. And it's it. That's it. That's it.
You know what I've noticed, and in the little bit, because my grandma was here, so I didn't do a lot of work over this week. But what I've noticed in the little bit of stuff that I've been paying attention to, the uptick, especially after Barr's interview the other day with McCallum on Fox, listening also to, I don't know if you had a chance, but Devin Nunes was on with Bongino.
Yep.
And it was a really, really amazing interview. And he said, and I think we're going to, I'm just firming up a time, just letting everybody know out there. I've asked Lee Smith to join us on the podcast. He said he would be glad to join us on the podcast. I'm so excited about that one. We're just firming up a day and time. It'll be within the first week or so of the new year. And we're going to talk about this when he comes on. They said, Devin Nunes said that he used people like, I guess, me and Jeff and, you know, everybody out there, even, you know, doing all this research into the story. It was useful to them at HPSI during their investigation. Like, we literally helped them.
I saw that, and I brought that up last night when I was on the live stream with Red Pill and Neon Revolt and a few other people. And I think that was one of the a great way to end the year with that kind of validation.
Yeah.
That those who can act and those who are acting are looking toward the new media.
Yeah.
Because there is real work being done. And like I said, when Trisha was on, we are examining the behavior of a complicit media in not only making up news to suit a particular political aim, but to also divert eyes away from where the real news is. And most of it, so much of it, is open source. At least enough information is open source to
put the pieces together.
Put the pieces together and maybe get a little bit more of an in-depth investigation into a matter started.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is enough. I'll put it to you this way. There's enough out there in the public to establish probable cause for the biggest stories.
Well, I'd say absolutely. Like I had a I don't know if you follow Cat Turd on Twitter. Do you?
I've seen the tweets, but
Cat Turd is a parody account that is hysterical. Always does really good stuff. Friend of mine. I don't know who the hell it is, but friend of mine, right? And he cat turd, woman or male, don't have a clue, but this turd said that he made a tweet last night that Barr appointed Durham, and anybody who says that it was Sessions is full of it. Well, of course, I came out of the woodwork on that one because it's not true. Sessions appointed Durham. We've gone over this before. But the point is that even from those little transcripts that we have, the one line in an IG report that opens up the door to a massive story, you know, it's all over the place. But what has been happening over the past couple days and week or so is that people are being very honest now about what is happening and what has happened. Whereas there was almost like this cloud of the IG report not being out yet that stopped people from really opening up the floodgates on how they felt. And there's no better example of that than Kevin McCarthy on Maria Bartiromo yesterday. Listen to this.
Pleasure to see you. Thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me back.
So you just heard Senator Cruz, you heard Lindsey Graham as well, talking about what is taking place and what has taken place in terms of the IG report. First, react to that. Set the stage for us.
Well, if you pause for one moment and you read this IG report by Horowitz, here's the FBI. They broke into President Trump at the time, candidate Trump's campaign, spied on him, and then they covered it up. It is a modern day Watergate. And you've got Democrats who aren't willing to even look into that. That is the area that we should be looking at. It's a modern day coup, the closest this country's ever came to. But the only way you can compare this to is Watergate. They broke into his campaign by bringing people into it. They have been trying to cover it up for the whole time. Now the question rises, just like Watergate. Who knew? When did they know it? And how high did this go up?
It's quite extraordinary, actually, Congressman, that the Democrats are able to change the narrative on you and your colleagues over and over again. You had exposed what took place in the 2016 election. You exposed how Donald Trump was framed, the informants, the leaks, et cetera. And yet here we are talking about impeachment. What are you going to do about it, that they keep changing the narrative and the conversation on you?
Not for nothing, but they're enabling them to do it by talking about it right now. In my opinion. Okay. I hope that didn't get ruined. No, here we go.
Well, they've changed everything. They used Adam Schiff as being the chairman of Intel to go out and write a FISA report that now we saw from that report is totally false. Devin is vindicated. We now watch the House of Representatives change the standards of the House on how we dealt with impeachment so they could try to move one forward. They withheld witnesses from the minority. They withheld even how we could question inside our own committees. They run this impeachment through, and remember,
we're basically, I'm trying to stop, it's frozen. They're basically now in the educational part of this where, first of all, I would love nothing more than to sit at a bar and have a beer with Devin Nunes.
Yeah.
You agree, right? He's just,
I'd like to have a white Russian with him.
Yes, all of us Ruskis.
They're having white Russians. It's a sign.
Because I've listened to, gosh, I started listening to his podcast. I've been listening to all the interviews he's been doing, and I love him. I just love him. He's so normal, down to earth, smart, feisty, unchained now, just out there. I would love to see a President Nunes. You hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, President Nunes would be a good one. Trying to think, does he have the campaign chops? I don't know. You know what it is? There's so few people that I really trust in Congress. There's so few people I trust in Congress, so few voices I really perk up to listen to in both the House and the Senate that I hate to lose them to some other position elsewhere. I hate to lose them to even the White House.
Yeah, I know.
I'd rather have these voices in these deliberative and legislative bodies, the place where all this stuff is supposed to go through. I mean, the president, if you really think about it, the president is only is so heavily influenced by the political winds in the direction in which they blow, because you think Donald Trump wouldn't be signing the most restorative bills that we could think of right now if the Congress was bold enough and the country was moving in that direction and they were passing things. You think what I'm saying is, for all the people who are complaining about a $1.4 trillion spending bill again, I mean, that's just been the norm. If the Congress had put an approved spending bill for, I don't know, $600 billion only, or less than that, that only funds the military, funds anything that's only things that are constitutional, and we were able to cut the spending down by 80% maybe, he would sign that too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about momentum, and it's people like Devin Nunes that are going to create momentum in the right places. That's why it was like, I would love to see President so-and-so. Well, yeah, if we're talking about the president being an all-powerful entity, then I guess that would be great to have some.
No, I just think it's because of – no, I don't mean it like that. I understand what you're saying.
I understand how you mean it. I'm not saying that's what you're saying. I'm just saying this is why I hate to even – it's hard for me to even say I would love to see him in this place, because I don't want to see him out of the place he is. And yeah, it's sad that we have that little good resources to go around.
No, I agree. It's an important seat that he holds, and he does a lot of important work in Congress and on the committees he's on, especially for farmers, which we're going to segue into right now, because that's where he started, an agricultural, you know, background he has. But, you know, just the dignity and integrity that would be brought to the office of the presidency if he were to occupy the seat is why I'm saying, like, he would demand a certain level of accountability, and he would demand a certain sort of stature from people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In the meantime, I would love for him to preside over a majority in the House again.
Yes.
You think about how effective people like he and Jim Jordan would be with a House majority. I mean, they can do so much more than a president can do right now, because what we need is major mopping up.
Yeah, and we need the majority that we do have, if and when we do have it, we better freaking have it, to do the work of the people and not vote down anything, any agenda item that we're trying to advance. You know, we've had that problem with this lame duck majority that just sit on their hands and nothing gets done, and they vote against things that they should be voting for, and they vote for things that they should be voting against, and the American people are all sitting there scratching their heads like, what just happened? You know, I was listening this morning when I was preparing for the show. I was listening this morning to Leland. I guess his name, I had no idea who this person was. I guess his name is Leland Vittert on Fox. He's on America's Newsroom. It was a clip about the farm bill. And I haven't read these bills, and I'm kicking myself for it. I need to read USMCA. I need to read the omnibus bill. I need to read the farm bill, unless they're coupled together and I don't even know about it. I am so lost on legislation right now. Full disclosure, and it's not okay. So that being said, America's farmers have been suffering for a really long time because of the policies the Obama administration put into place to cripple our farmer. Straight up. So there was an interview with the representative from Kansas this morning, and I want you guys to listen. It's one thing to play devil's advocate, but listen to the soft sort of propaganda that this host is throwing out there. And it, on the one hand, it allowed this rep to answer the questions honestly. On the other hand, it was just so over the top as to be snide that it was even more pissed. It made me even more pissed off than if this guy would have just come out and said he hated Trump. So we're just going to listen to it.
Income fell by 16%.
Hold on.
Billions and billions of dollars of products, agricultural products.
President Trump touting his preliminary trade agreement with China as Beijing announces it will cut tariffs on more than 850 U.S. products ranging from pork to pharmaceuticals. With us now, Kansas Congressman Roger Marshall, who serves on the Agriculture Committee. Good to see you, sir. You and I have talked in the past that farmers, particularly those in your states, were really hurting because of the tariffs on China. Is this relief coming soon enough to save them?
Merry Christmas, Leland, and absolutely yes. We have mountains of grain from 2 years ago sitting in Kansas with nowhere to go. But between the Japanese trade agreement, the President Trump's USMCA trade agreement, and now China getting closer, we've made it. We've made it through the hard past 5 years, actually. And between the President's help with some of the trade mitigation money and these contracts, these trade agreements going forward, yes, we're going to make it.
In terms of what you guys have had to make it through, we got some statistics on just how much America's farmers have been hurting. Farm income fell by 16% in 2018, roughly cut in half compared to 2013. Bankruptcies in six Midwest states up 30%. Carryover stock, what you were just talking about, of unsold U.S. soybeans up 47% in the past year. No question, though, it's too late for some farmers, right? There's a number that you and I have talked about who already declared bankruptcy.
There was record number of bankruptcies over the past several years, but realize this started 5 years ago. It started over 5 years ago when we were going nowhere until President Trump got in the middle of this. President Trump has now made it possible for long-term success for our families. So by the time China's done, he will have renegotiated over 50% of the United States trade agreements, giving us long-term certainty for all of our future generations of farmers.
Is that money already started to flow into Kansas? Because the deal with China isn't even signed yet. We don't even really know what's in it.
No, but what it's influencing is it'll start influencing the price of crops and gives us long-term certainty. So when that farmer, a fifth-generation farmer who's facing hard time.
There's more. We need to play the second half because it gets worse.
Who is this? Chris Hayes' cousin?
I mean, really. I mean, I'm sitting there like, what is this dude's deal? Like, you've got this guy from the state where this is happening. You know, Kansas is a big farming state. So excited, clearly, that the farmers are going to be doing well, that they're already starting to do well. And this guy's like, oh, do you really think this is going to work? We haven't even heard what's in the thing. You kidding me? Here, let's listen in another minute. Hold on.
From Mexico and Canada, then the upstance with China is just incredible as well. But what the president did do is he gave us some trade mitigation money, some market facilitation payments to help get us through these hard times because we were the tip of the spear.
Yeah, Bloomberg reports that of that $12 billion that you're talking about, 50% went to only 10% of farmers. So family farms is the implication. We're left behind. Is that a fair criticism?
No,
I don't think so. I think it's proportionate. A lot of the farmers are big farms these days. And I'm not even sure what you would consider a corporate farm now, but many of these bigger farms are five or six families together. So one check would have went to the corporation and then spread out. So no, I had lots of farmers. Every time I go back to Kansas, the farmers tell me, thank the president for this mitigation money.
Lastly, to you, how confident are you that the deal with China will actually get done? Because we don't know what's in it, haven't seen a draft, it hasn't been signed, these things have fallen apart before.
You know, I just have a lot of confidence in our USTR, Bob Lighthizer, and in President Trump.
And then he just goes on to keep saying they're doing a great job, no matter how many times this a-hole tries to cut it down. He's like, no, actually, this is fantastic. And he's like, yeah, but everybody's been left behind, haven't they?
No, you say that things are going well, but things are actually the worst it's ever been. Isn't that correct?
No, actually, things are great. I mean, really.
Yeah, but you say things are great, but in reality, things are actually catastrophically bad. Isn't that a fair summary of things now? How are things? I could never be interviewed by people like this because after the third loaded question, I would say, man, I really want to strangle you. I don't think you hear what I'm saying. I just can't. I give him a lot of A lot of credit.
I don't know how they do it. Really?
I wonder what Jerry Nadler. I should have asked Trisha what Jerry Nadler said, if anything, because he's one to just. Yeah, he's one to just close his mouth and waddle away.
There, I think that this was the instance where they actually, his security was trying to get him away, but ended up holding the elevator door open by accident so that people could still continue to hurl things at him. You know, these people, like, oh, goodness, the minority of the country that supports them at this point, really, we see them because we're on Twitter, but that's it. Really? Really? Yeah. I mean, I want to ask Trisha if she's going to go to Democrat rallies or gatherings, as we should call them. Did you see any of the debate the other day?
Oh, no, no. And I knew it was going on. Like, somebody told me it was going on right. I noticed there was a few live streams that had started or were going on when I had gotten home. And it was just so much. First of all, talk about the self-indulgence. The entire week is this impeachment stuff, the vote with no crimes, then saying you're going to hold back appointing managers until Nancy Pelosi has finished blackmailing the Senate, which is supposed to be a separate process altogether. That's why there's two separate houses there, so that the House of Representatives was not able to just launch political crusades against whoever they wanted and have them removed. So all these things happening in one week, and then the day after all that concludes and they're going on recess until January 7th, like 2 weeks, they put everybody on simmer on the stove for and then 2 weeks.
And then invited President Trump to give the State of the Union in February. Yeah.
Yes. And then invited him to State of the Union. And then they had a debate. Ugh, how self-indulgent.
Well, it's funny because that's what a lot of people in the comments underneath these articles are saying, because the sixth Democratic debate hit a ratings low from 18.1 million who tuned into NBC, MSNBC and Telemundo for the second night of the first debate to 6 million this week. Maybe it's because it's a bunch of old white people up on the stage. What do you say?
That's probably a part of it. And of course, the other part of it is you talk about overstaying your welcome. You talk about those unwanted house guests that show up and they pick a couch and they lay across the couch. So they're the only ones on the couch and they are never shy about saying, do you have anything to drink? Do you have anything to eat? And you're just like, all right, you know what? Thanksgiving was over 3 days ago. Get back in your RV and get the hell out of here. You know, it's just like, get out. They're awful house guests. Awful.
I wouldn't want them in my house.
Awful. Just get the hell away from me.
Oh. I'll tell a funny story. You want me to tell a funny story?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. This morning, Will comes in, my husband. He comes into the kitchen in the morning and he says, Tracy, I was at the store this morning and the guy behind the counter said, Merry Christmas to you, sir. And then I said back, Merry Christmas to you, sir. And he got angry at me. Why did he get angry at me? And I'm like, you gendered him. He was pissed that he used the word sir.
Are you sure it was sir?
Yes, it was sir. He was gay.
And he didn't want to be sir?
I mean, I guess he didn't want to be sir, because why else would he be angry?
Well, was he dressed like a woman?
No.
Okay, so then are you sure that he wasn't just angry about Merry Christmas?
Well, he
and
said
not happy
it first.
Holidays? Oh, he did.
Yes.
And then he stiffened up with the only thing different.
Yes. He gave him a face and he got all angry and like, like that.
Wow.
And here he is, my poor husband, the shyest man on the planet. Really.
It's like he had just worked up the courage.
Exactly.
To have a human interaction moment. And
yes.
And this sourpuss is the one that he got.
Yeah, that's what happens to him all the time. It happens.
You know what, Tracy? Yeah, I'm ready to come out of my shell today. and then that's what you meet, these sourpuss people.
He usually just keeps to himself. He's very quiet. The opposite of me. The exact opposite of me, right? Very quiet, reserved, very friendly, but very reserved and quiet and very just shy.
Yeah, it's like me and Lauren. So we're opposite couples.
Yeah, I have a yin yang on my leg because of this. We have the same tattoo because we're complete opposites. And it's funny because he always gets put in these situations, Frank, where things like this happen. I'm like, he goes to the store super early in the morning because he doesn't want to be dealing with anybody, right? So he'll go to the store and like, he'll pick an aisle, and then for some odd reason, someone will come like running up to him like, help! And like, and he's just like, he just doesn't like pee. He just doesn't. It's just not something he's comfortable with. So to hear him come home, he was still shaken up about it. Like, what did I do? You know, like exactly like you said, finally, I have the courage to talk to somebody and say thank you or Merry Christmas back. Like he was just being funny, you know, Merry Christmas to you, sir. And then.
Well, hello, sir. Thank you so much. It is a wonderful day.
He should, when he leaves the house, he should actually just adopt a new personality. I was talking about that. You know, I had spoken with my brother about that. When Anthony was going off on tour for the Jägermeister tour with Hailstorm in 2015, they had hired him to come on tour with them and be the MC and all that stuff for the entire national tour. And you know, there was a little bit of nerves for him because that was the first big touring experience and all that stuff, and it was one thing heading up a band, but it's another thing to go out there and just be an MC. And I told him, Ant, if I was in your position, this is what I would do. I would just create yourself a personality, create yourself a split, and play a role. Just say, who am I today? And whatever Anthony or whatever Will or anybody else out there would do in a certain situation or would feel about a certain situation just does not – it does not compute in this time around.
That would be fantastic.
Because when you walk out of a house some days – and I like doing this sometimes. You walk out of the house and you are – I'm not Frank today. I'm just going to play a character. And
best character you've ever played, Frank?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, give me an interaction you've had with someone in that sort of way.
Well, I just pulled out that kind of like, hello. Every once in a while, just that whatever. I imagine myself with like a top hat and a monocle, almost like Mr. Peanut, but I have a little bit more of a voice. There's something else there. The other thing I like doing is this is off the topic, but if I'm driving down a road and there's oncoming traffic coming by me toward me, and there's proper lighting to where they can actually see the driver of the oncoming car, I put on the most strained, ridiculous faces as I pass by them, so they just see this maniac. Oh, speaking of maniac, I'm all over the place now.
It's okay, let's do it.
Okay, speaking of maniac, I woke up yesterday. Saturday morning. I woke up and I heard a fire truck honking its horn. And then over the loudspeaker, I heard somebody, I guess, pretending to be Santa Claus. So I'm thinking, oh, it's probably Santa Claus at the park or it's something that shows up in a fire truck and they're there for kids. But there was nothing going on up at the park. I was up there working out like 25 minutes later. There's no leftover people, nothing. So, but the other thing I'm thinking, so I noted that, but also when I woke up to this, he was going, hello, everybody. And instead of going ho, 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 he was saying ha, 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 ha. So I immediately texted everybody. I said, you know, all my buddies in town, I said, you guys hear this Santa Claus? And goes, oh, I thought I heard something. I said, yeah, it's hilarious to me because he's not saying ho, ho, ho. And what it sounded like from my bedroom was like some crazy maniac hijacked a fire truck and was just scaring people driving through the neighborhoods, waking people up because it was, I don't know, from a, if you couldn't see who the hell it was, wasn't Santa Claus.
What time was it?
It was around 8:30.
They must have had a nice night at the firehouse the night before, and this was the early morning hangover Santa run.
Oh yeah, no, you heard a couple of honks and you heard ha 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 ha. Like, what is it, like a villain? Like,
oh God, that's see? Great. Oh, that's really funny. Well, listen,
Oh, nothing. Go ahead.
We had a good lighthearted show today, Frank.
We needed it.
I hope everybody enjoyed that. You know what I was thinking that we should start doing before we close? Well, first of all, let me just make a business announcement. Next, we'll have a show on Friday. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Enjoy your Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, which just started yesterday. Just really have fun this Christmas. Just smile and laugh and be merry and have a glass of wine and relax. And just, you know, put everything else aside and enjoy this holiday. And then we'll be back on the 27th for Friday. And then starting on the 30th, the show on the 30th, which is the Monday, and the show on the 3rd, which is the Friday, will be not on these podcast platforms you're used to. We will have the show on YouTube, on Periscope, on DLive, on Facebook. I'll put it on Facebook too, on the Uncovered DC Facebook. Frank, you're welcome to stream it as well on your channel. And we're going to do a video shows those 2 days, Monday and Friday. We're off on Wednesday for New Year's Day. Now, what I was thinking we should do is maybe consider, and I've not talked to you about this at all, having a random person from out there in the audience join us like once a month to just co-host a show with us.
Sure. Sure. We'll see how they hang.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we'll obviously have to do some
plenty
diligence.
We got plenty of people out there. I mean, first of all, why doesn't people like Shem or anybody like come on a show?
Shem,
that would be fun.
I've been telling him, and every time he's like, we'll see. I think he needs to just break out of his shell.
Yeah, he's got to break out of his Shem shell.
He's hysterical.
We got a lot of great friends and people out there, and even just everyday viewers and stuff that have become regulars. I like that. I like that feel. It's almost like we opened up our own Cheers bar.
Yeah. We've got fam. We got fam out there. Fam, fam, fam. You guys have been listening to the Christmas Eve edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Christmas Eve Eval
and Christmas Eve
and
Beans. I give up.
I always forget.
Mercy.
And then I remember.
Mercy.
Wow. Merry Christmas, everybody.
You guys can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, most of the time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you on Friday. Have a very Merry Christmas.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.